She shivered.
"Mordred means to kill you, Roland," she said. "That's its job. What it was made for. To end you and your quest and the tower."
"Yes," Roland said, "and to rule in his father's place. For the Crimson King is old, and I have come more and more to believe that he is imprisoned somehow. If that's so, then he's no longer our real enemy."
"Will we go to his castle on the other side of the Discordia?" Jake asked. It was the first time he'd spoken in half an hour. "We will, won't we?"
"I think so, yes," Roland said. "Le Casse Roy Roos, the old legends call it. We'll go there, Ka-Tet, and slay what lives there."
"Let it be so," Eddie said. "By God, let that be so."
"Aye," Roland agreed. "But our first job is the breakers. The beamquake we felt in Calabrin Sturgis just before we came here suggests that their work is nearly done. Yet even if it isn't,
ending what they're doing is our job," Eddie said.
Roland nodded.
He looked more tired than ever.
"Aye," he said. "Killing them or setting them free. Either way, we must finish their meddling with the two beams that remain. And we must finish off the Dantiti, the one that belongs to the Crimson King, and to me."
5. Nigel ended up being quite helpful, although not just to Roland and his quartet, as things fell. To begin with, he brought two pencils, two pens, one of them a great old thing that would have looked at home in the hand of a Dickens scrivener, and three pieces of chalk, one of them in a silver holder that looked like a lady's lipstick. Roland chose this and gave Jake another piece.
"I can't write words you'd understand easily," he said, "but our numbers are the same or close enough. Print what I say to one side, Jake, and fair,